You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. I was wondering, after watching the news and musing a bit, how has a country survived under the care of politicians all these years? Seriously. I mean, what a joke. What a joke. Or is it more of a joke now? Right? Is it worse now? I don't know. Have they always been the slimy, gutless, cowardly group that they are? That is the politician. Yeah. I'm thinking, I don't like to admit it, but I think that that's the way they've always been. I don't know how the democracy has survived. The democracy has survived because our forefathers created a system that endures in spite of the slime of politicians. How about that for a little bit of a philosophical, political philosophy? So what you're going to see today in our nation's capital is you're going to see the Senate, controlled by the Republicans, hold hearings. And the hearings will be about how the people who come to this country exploit the judicial system to stay here. Okay? Big shocker. And the Democrats will be hosting, I think, the Secretary of Homeland Security, Kirstjen Nielsen. And who I'm surprised still has a job, to be honest with you. She and the president, evidently, not so much. And but anywho, so the Democrats will be doing their own hearings and about the waste that's going on along the border. So you're looking at two competing visions of the world. And are we any closer to solving a problem? Answer is no. We're just dancing around it now. So again, it wouldn't be bad, except there's real people down there that are really suffering. The issues down there are real. And we have veterans that we have people down there and issues down there that don't get solved. And it's tragic. And to me, the other thing that's interesting about our country now is that there is a tyranny of the media, right? There is a tyranny of there is a tyranny of the media and people that use events for their own agenda, and they hijack them. And that gets going, and the reason it plays in the media is because the media is about selling clicks, right? Don't get the country that you live in confused with the shit you see on TV, because it is not the same. Trust me. I can tell you that. You live in a pretty decent country. The garbage that you see on TV is the hand-picked Jerry Springer event designed to drive clicks and that kind of stuff. So that's what you see. And so I was watching yesterday, my hometown. I was talking about it yesterday, and that was the whole police event up in Sacramento, where a year ago, and my question was, what do we expect from cops, especially cops who work in violent cities? Now, again, I got it. There's the cops, we've watched it, and Mike Musselman and I have talked about it. They need better training. They need more repetitions in high-stress events, and there should be regional centers where police officers can go. So, yesterday, after protests in the Sacramento area, because last Friday, the district attorney said that she would not file charges against two police officers in connection with the shooting. And the long and short of the shooting was, 911 calls, somebody's breaking windows on cars. Kid has a whole series of drugs. Kid, he's in his 20s. He's black. He's got a series of drugs, both legal and illegal drugs, OxyContin, cocaine in his system, and he's smashing windows in cars. Nothing's being stolen, though, but nobody would know that. So the police roll in there, sheriff's helicopter rolls in there, they see him, they're running, they're chasing him, stop, refuses to stop, hops over a fence, right? There's a confrontation, cops come around, they tell him to put his hands up, he doesn't, he then walks towards them, pulls something out of his pocket that's shiny, and they shoot and kill him. Turns out it's his cell phone. All right, so the question is, at what point is that guy responsible for his behavior? Yeah, but he was an innocent victim. He didn't do anything except smash windows. Oh, as he went into the first backyard he went into, he grabs a brick or something and throws it through a sliding glass door where there's a 90-year-old man sitting inside watching TV. Okay, and so the helicopter's watching this. So, then the confrontation takes place between the police. Both police officers give essentially the same story, saying that, we pursued him. He was uncooperative on multiple occasions initially. Then, when told to put his hands up, then he walked towards us, pulled something out of his pocket that's shiny, and it's in front of him. I thought it was a gun. One of them says, gun, 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 and they shoot. Okay, so now, what's the narrative? Well, right, we have the Black Lives Matter people. They show up, and they're screaming and yelling and doing what they do, which is to be expected. But here's my point about our politicians, right? You have the mayor of the city, right? The mayor of the city, he's apologizing for what happened. Wait a minute. And this is my point about the truth. The reason he's apologizing is because he's a politician. He's not interested in the truth and standing up for the right thing. Hey, the bottom line here is, right, is in the face of uncertainty, police officers have a right to defend themselves. The bottom line here is this young man had multiple occasions to stop and put his hands up and surrender, and nothing would have happened that night. So while this is tragic, right? After viewing the toxicology report, I would have to say, with all these drugs in his system and the fact that he was going to be arrested, or at least he thought he was going to be arrested on domestic violence charges, and based on the fact that he'd searched the word suicide on his phone, I would say that his mindset was probably not in a good place. And then what you looked at in his behavior that night is a series of bad decisions made by somebody who's in a desperate mindset, from breaking car windows to running from the police to breaking a sliding glass window. You would think that that would be, you know, that the mayor, well, this is absolutely tragic, and we all regret that it's happened. But I have a message for everybody out there. When the police show up, if you stop and put your hands up, the event ends there. Okay? We will sit down with our police force, and we will review what happened. But rest assured, our police officers have the right to defend themselves from people who are breaking the law and are uncooperative. But that's not what he said. He apologized. And then, so big protest Monday night in Sacramento, and 84 people. The paper, one of the reporters gets arrested, the paper's headline, "Your First Amendment under assault in Sacramento." You're like, are you kidding me? Like, at what point? So talk to the cops, and the cops, right, there's cameras everywhere. So what are the cops going to say? Well, here's what happened. We told everybody, you got to stay over here because we're not having a riot tonight. Okay, so if you cross this line, you're going to get arrested. Okay? What happened? These people crossed that line. We warned them twice. The third time, they got arrested. Oh, okay. So now you have the mayor calling for a special investigation of the police department and arresting 84 people. Then yesterday the big news was, so in the midst of all this, the Attorney General of the State of California, a guy named Javier Becerra, I think, who's one of the most political figures in the state, right? He fights Donald Trump. You know, Donald Trump says the sun's coming up in the east, right? Javier Becerra says, we're going to sue him. We're suing the president for saying that. He's that guy, right? So he's at 11 o'clock yesterday, Pacific time. They had a meeting, and or he had a press conference and announced that no charges would be filed against the police department, the police officers involved in it. Now, when that guy does that, that means there's not a scintilla of evidence that he could use to take those police officers to trial. Not one. Because if there was, he would do it. He would do it. Then, later on in the day, it's announced that the FBI is going to conduct an investigation to see if this guy's civil rights were violated. And my point in all of this is, at some point, adults have to stand up and say, okay, I know I'm a politician here, and I know I'm afraid to stand up and say the right thing, because that's not what politicians do, okay? We kind of kiss everybody's ass so we can get reelected, which is what they're doing in Sacramento. And it's just amazing that our democracy survives this shit. And again, if you look at and transpose that problem with standing up and doing the right thing, standing up and telling the truth, standing up and telling people who don't want to hear things that what they need to hear, and being a leader. And our democracy survives that shit. It's amazing. It is a tribute to the Founding Fathers that our system is such that it can survive just the most incredibly shitty leaders on the planet. And now what's worse is we have this system. And the internet's to blame for all of this, or much of it. What, Matt? Okay. In most places, we used to have a system And most towns had two papers, unless you were a really small town. But you had the Daily Bugle, and you had the published in the morning, and was probably Democrat or Republican, one of the two. And then you had the Evening Tribune, which published in the afternoon. And they normally were of different political parties. And so you had this dueling discussion on the editorial pages, but not on the news pages. I mean, they published the news of the day. So the internet wrecked all that. Because when you stopped buying classified ads, yeah, remember the classified section? I used to be a whopper, man. One of the big features of the... And when you went to look for a job, where did you go? You went to the classified ads because that's where you found them. Right? When you wanted to buy something used, you went to the classified ads. So the internet gets turned on, and things like Craigslist, la 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 la, appear, and the classified ads, all that magical revenue that went to newspapers goes away. That's right. And so the newspapers, they dwindle. And now you have very few people contributing content to newspapers. So newspapers are largely built around Associated Press stories, things they pull off the wire. You have your editorial page and your local news writers. Everybody else has gone bye-bye in an effort to stay afloat. Yeah, thank the internet for all that. And one of the casualties is discourse, that you don't have somebody from the other side saying, hey, wait a minute, the mayor needs to stand up and tell the truth and stop throwing police officers under the bus. Why won't they do that? So cities like Sacramento, you have one newspaper, and it is as afraid to tell the truth as its politicians are. And so who's left to tell the truth? The district attorney has to stand up and say, yeah, nobody's going to like this, because this consortium of politicians, right, these special interest people that have their own very narrow agenda, Black Lives Matter, and the people in our town that are activists that are upset, is that boiling cauldron is not going to want to hear the truth. Just like they didn't want to hear the truth in Ferguson. The truth in Ferguson was Mike Brown stole a box of cigarettes, cigarillos, whatever the hell they were. He then punched out the clerk. He was walking down the middle of the street with that box in his hand with his buddy. When a police car rolled up next to him, not knowing that he was a thief and that he had assaulted a clerk, but to tell him to get out of the street. The officer then sees the box of cigarillos and says, oh, this must be the guy. As he parks his car, Mike Brown comes over, punches him in the head, and fractures his orbital bone. As the officer tries to get his weapon out, they fight for his weapon. It's discharged inside the vehicle. Brown then initially moves away and then turns, lowers his head, and charges a police officer who shoots and kills him. His friend, right after that, goes on TV and says Big Mike was on his knees, lying his ass off. Big Mike was on his knees trying to surrender. And then you have the ensuing craziness that went on in Ferguson. CNN down there every night whipping it on, right? Pouring gas on the fire. But, you know, who tells the truth? Yet our democracy survived. It's amazing. It's amazing. And again, you'll see it play out in Washington, D.C. today. And this whole issue of the border. If you go down there and if you watch any of the reality stuff that comes out of there, what goes on in our border is gross. The exploitation, the human trafficking, the sex trafficking, the smuggling, the using of children, the drugs, right, the drug cartels. I mean, yet, watch what you see on TV. And it is all a game of chicken for power in Washington, D.C. And you don't solve the problems of the nation. Yeah, so, and again, you see it in locally and in places like Sacramento. And it's this confluence of, right, a narrow agenda, a media that is driven by clicks and not the truth, and cowardly politicians. And that's the country you get to live in. Yeah, congratulations to all of you. Yeah, I thought I'd get that off my chest. The I was watching that yesterday. So yeah, yesterday, big announcement in Sacramento. The FBI will get involved. See if his civil rights were violated. Oh, by the way, one of the police officers was black. There you have it. That screws the whole narrative up, doesn't it? Shit. I hate when that happens. Exactly. All right. Alex Holling is going to join us today. But again, stuff like that goes on all over the country, right? You know, screw what the facts say, right? Screw what the facts say. This is the narrative. And when you have a media that doesn't care about the truth, we talked about this before, but, look how many times you have major, major newspapers, the leading newspapers in this country, and I'm talking about the Washington Post, New York Times, retracting stories because of their zeal to put them on. And then finding out that the sources were either fabricated, right, or they didn't exist and were made up. And you're like, what? In the New York Times? In the Washington Post? So, discouraging. So I was talking to somebody last night, and again, what the majority of my friends are, don't watch the news. Shut it off. I would tell you, if you want to get your news, you can go ahead and two apps I would give you. One is the Associated Press. The Associated Press does news. So if you want to see national news, right, check that out. If you want local news, you can download the Google News app, okay? And you'll find a button on there that says local news, and click on local news. And you'll get local news stories. And stay away from TV, because all that is clickbait, right? They need you to click. They need to count you as a viewer on whatever cable network you're associated with so they can go and justify their advertising rates. Hopefully increase numbers and raise advertising rates so they can make more money. That's the whole game. It is not about any kind of fidelity to the truth. None of that matters. And that's a sad, sad world that we live in. And then you add gutless politicians to that, and you have a wonderful cocktail that I take you back to, which is why the brilliance of our founding fathers is, all these years later, amazing. That they set up a system that's so hard to change that even the most incompetent and even the most immoral media can't seem, right, to destroy it. That our democracy is like a weed. Yeah, like a weed. It continues because it takes a lot to usurp it. It takes a lot to screw it up. And it gets tested. It gets tested. To me, though, it's so pathetic to watch not only, you know, what goes on in the on the border, and the fact that we have two political parties that know no limits to burning it down for stupid reasons. You know, the Democrats did this when Harry Reid went on TV and said the war is lost. The war wasn't lost, right? If I saw Harry Reid, I'd walk straight up to him and punch him right in the face. Because he aided and abetted the enemies of the United States when he did that. aided and abetted the enemies of the United States. They took solace in that. They were encouraged by that. They took that piece of footage and they sent it everywhere. Keep killing Americans. We told you they would quit. This is the number, whatever Reed was, in terms of secession to the presidency. He's saying the war is lost. And the only reason he said that was so whoever was running against George Bush in 2008, is that what it was? Could get elected. I mean, that's the kind of repugnant garbage that our political system, right, puts out. And on both sides of the aisle. Right? I mean, one of my comments about the last election, you had a choice between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Like, how do I not retch over that choice? And the system that gives you that is sick. It is a sick system. And again, thank God the Founding Fathers set up a system that's pretty difficult to change. Because if it wasn't, we'd be so screwed, it'd be a joke. All right, on that cheery note, the United States Marine Corps Band makes it official this morning. Good morning to you. Dedicated to our founding fathers. Thank you very much for your brilliance. Were it not for your brilliance, we would have screwed this thing up so long ago, and it would be headed for the dumpster right now. Right? We would be just like other tin pot bullshit countries. But because you made it so difficult to change things in your three branches of government and your checks and balances, yeah. Thank you. Otherwise, it would have been so screwed up, it'd be stupid.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front, with his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City. Standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran, but, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. We are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
For us to check the weather. Email. Mac, do you deny that it's an issue that police are shooting too many black men around the country? No. We've talked about that on this program before. And I talked about that earlier. Both in my, you know, Mike does a lot of training with police officers. No, when you see the numbers. But again, police officers have the right to defend themselves. And if you don't cooperate with police, that's on you. So the message should be, hey, when the police show up, put your hands up and stop. Right? If you do that, it tends to work out. Now again, I mean, I think we've all seen the videotape, right? That guy in Minnesota that got shot in his car, telling the cop, I've got a gun, right? I got a permit to carry, and the guy's losing his mind, and he shoots him, right? That guy should never have even been in that position. Why is that guy on the street, right? So no, that's not the issue here. The issue is when, in the midst of those situations, people can't tell the truth. When the issue gets hijacked by people with very specific interests, and you have politicians that won't stand up and say tell the truth, and you have media that aren't concerned about the truth. Actually, in my opinion, are many times afraid to tell the truth. So, anyway. The weather. Clouds at 29 in Quantico. Cold on the East Coast. Sunny and 39 at Camp Lejeune. Holy smokes, man. Yeah, but that's about 7 degrees warmer than it was yesterday. In Granbury, Texas, clouds and 38. No report from Montana yet. He was up late last night. 29 Palms is cloudy and 58. Camp Pendleton, as opposed to Camp Pendleton. Not sure where Camp Pendleton is, but Camp Pendleton is cloudy and 57. In Okinawa, Japan, it is dark, cloudy, and 67. Daylight savings time coming up upon us. In Iraq, clear, sundown, 66 degrees. That would be the warm spot so far. In Afghanistan, clear, dark, and 55 degrees. So the Al-Anbar province is the warm spot right now. And cloudy and 59 here in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California. Looking for a high today of 62. So we're going to climb. We're going to climb 3 whole degrees, and it's going to be rainy. I have weeds in the back of my house like you can't even believe. Right? In a garden that is normally just dirt. There's been so much rain. It looks like something out of Jurassic Park. Uh-oh. They woke up. Woke up Montana, man. 11 degrees and light snow. Nice. Keeps the riffraff out. That's what they say. That's why we live. Why do we live here again? Remind myself. Yeah, the cold weather keeps the riffraff out. That's right. That's right. So there you have it. An update from Montana, man. Not really sure. He's in Montana. I think he's in Montana. He migrates, right, between, because that's how outdoor people that live outdoor, that's what they do. He migrates between Idaho and Montana. So, yeah, he was up late last night. So I'm surprised he's up this early. But that's how farm folk are. They're hardy people. All right, we'll take a break. There's some interesting stuff in the news today. The last Marine Prowler Squadron deactivated here. Yeah. Yeah, the queers, as they were known. VMAQ. And they were electronic warfare platforms. The EA-6B Prowler. North Korea back in the news, rebuilding its rocket engine test site. So, sending signals. Yeah, we're not to be trifled with. We can start shooting missiles over Guam again. My God, really? Right. And don't think we forgot about that panic we fired up in Hawaii. We can get that going, too. So, there you have it. We will not be trifled with. Alright? We will not be trifled. We are North Korea. All right, we got it. All right, we'll take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on a Wednesday. Alex Holling's going to join us. He at the top of the hour. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More of this fine program coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the ReadBoard page at AllMarineRadio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Colleen the Swimmer. She's actually not bad. I'll have to give it up to her.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and soak in the ache of this heartbreak.
Peyton Davis.
I want to drive
fast. She was all over the news yesterday.
Break down in nowhere so I can find me. Cry these tears when I reach there. I'll scream. Yeah, I'll let it all out.
All right, let me get to some news. Good morning, Mac. I was listening to you and the Gunners discussion on being called Devil Dog, and it was a derogatory term according to the Gunners. Jesus, I thought even before your guys talk, I thought that was a compliment to any Marine. Yeah, I don't know how that thing all of a sudden became negative. You know, I think it's bullshit, right? I think it's bullshit. Yeah, it's part of the craziness that is, you know. You have all kinds of people, you know. My own opinion is that it starts with, you know, this knife edge thing at recruit training, right? When you knife edge somebody, which is your hand, right? Right? All your fingers together, right? Your thumb against it, and you're like talking to somebody and you're using your hand. So in the teaching of martial arts skills, that's your hand as a knife edge, right? All that stuff closed up. All right. So the knife edge. So there's this thing associated with devil dogging somebody. Always negative, blah, blah, blah. That's maybe the way it is at Disneyland down at the recruit field, but that's not in the Marine Corps. You know, people use devil dog all the time. Hey, devil dog, come here. Yeah, all of a sudden it's negative. Because who said it was? It's just stupid. Marine News, two F-18s collide in midair over 29 Palms. Like, what? Yeah, go figure. Both from the 3rd Marine Air Wing, which is located at Miramar. And naturally, nobody's going to say shit about it, so in 9 months, we'll get a report about it. After a Freedom of Information Act, somebody files one of those. Two Hornets involved in the accident, miraculously, right? Right? Nobody was injured. Both managed to land safely after experiencing a mid-air incident. That's in quotes. According to First Lieutenant Frederick Walker, a spokesman for 3rd MA, no personnel were injured. The announcement also said that the incident happened while they were conducting close air support, so they're flying in formation, I would think, right? The Corps provided very few details of the incident. The extent of the damage to the two aircraft is unknown. The accident was listed as a Class A mishap, which is defined by the Navy as an accident where the aircraft is destroyed or sustained $2 million or more damages. It's the second aviation mishap for the Marine Corps since the start of 2019. Remember, Class A, $2 million. There's an article earlier in the week that talked about revising that because aircraft are so expensive now, right? You know, somebody keys the paint on the aircraft and that's $2 million to repaint it. Not that anybody actually keys an aircraft, but you know what I'm saying. On January 5th, the Harrier embarked aboard the Wasp-class amphibious assault ship Kearsage with the 22nd MU, was damaged after it ingested a refueling ground strap. So, no one was injured. Damage to the engine, substantial. Alright, so, again, somebody living right, man. You go clip in the air with another aircraft. Not sure how that happens. And again, you know, the disturbing part of these incidents that the Marine Corps has is this, right? Two F-18s going bump, it doesn't happen very often. So, why are these incidents, these low-density incidents going on? Because our training is that bad now? These are the symptoms of aviators who don't have enough time in the cockpit, who don't have enough repetitions, and these are the things that are going to happen till we can get them back in the cockpit, back flying, so their proficiency can be raised? Again, the issue with the KC-130, the retanker, and the F-18 off of the coast of Iwakuni, Japan, where those two went bump, nobody I know has ever heard of that. And they don't like to say that. But, you know, you have the KC-130 driving straight, extends its the fuel arm, not an arm, but the hose, right, with the basket at the end. The F-18 drives up. Right? It's got a probe. It plugs into that. They fly at the same speed. And there's emergency procedures at both of them. My understanding, as it was explained to me, each bank hard in the opposite direction. Right? So I come up on your left wing, and I'm tanking off your left wing, If something happens, I bank left, you bank right. That's how it was explained to me. How do you go bump? Nobody's ever heard of it. So that's the disturbing part of these kind of incidents, is that is this the price because we, and again, these are, it's very interesting, and I'll take it back to something that I talked about with Scott Cuomo. The Marine Corps' decision to fly its F-18s, to fly the living shit out of them, and not send armed ISR, not contract and send ISR on those missions on a daily basis, drove this crisis. Somebody in charge of aviation should have said, if we continue to fly armed ISR in Iraq and Afghanistan, which is F-18s, right, loaded with bombs, flying around waiting for something to happen, okay? If we continue to do that at this rate, we will destroy the fixed-wing aviation assets of the Marine Corps. Well, the F-35 is coming. Yeah, we know that. But if the F-35 gets fielded at the same rate that other air platforms get fielded, it will be delayed. And there's no reason to think that that won't happen. So we need to plug something else into this. Oh, really? Yeah. And the Marine Corps didn't do it. And so as a result, destroyed its F-18 fleet. Remember, I mean, you had 70% of the F-18s could not get into the air. Hello? And so now you have pilots that have grown up in that system, and they're starting to fly again, but they're unskilled. They're unskilled, they're novice, and they're trying to get their repetitions up. And you know, you can't make up that ground. They have to fly to get the experience. But these accidents are, I mean, there's, you just don't see them. You read about them, and you're like, what? I've never heard of this accident. Two F-18s going bump. I think I recall a Navy episode. Two F-18s took off at Miramar, and one clipped the other one, and one pilot had to eject over the water. Miramar just off the coast. They take off. They're over the water pretty quick. And one ejected. I think I remember that. Well, I mean, I don't remember this. Like, what the hell? So, again, not that it hasn't happened, but you read these stories and disturbing. And you go back to what generated it, right? What generated it? I should get to the article about what the president did yesterday in signing a task force about suicide, but I want to get to this story, and then I don't know if I'll have time. Hollings will understand. Top U.S. general in Europe seeks more troops, warships to counter Russia. The recommendation was also made, right? General Curtis Scaparotti, who leads U.S. European Command, and he's the NATO Supreme Allied Commander in Europe, told the Senate Armed Services Committee yesterday that it will take more armored units, more Navy-guided missile destroyers and carrier strike groups, and amphibious strike groups, whoa, included them, to stay ahead of Russia's growing and modernizing forces. He said, quote, "I'm not comfortable yet with the deterrent posture of American presence in Europe." So you have that. You also had the sale of the F-35 to Turkey question. Turkey is buying Russian surface-to-air missiles. And the commingling of that technology is looked at as a bad thing. I always talk about these things, and so I want to talk about this because I think it's important. The remains of a World War II Marine killed on Bashio Island, which is adjacent to Tarawa Island, Tarawa Atoll, have been returned, been missing since the World War II battle. The military announced on Tuesday that the remains of 21-year-old Marine Corporal Claire E. Goldtrap of Hobart, Oklahoma, are scheduled for burial on April 10th. He was part of an amphibious tractor battalion that landed against the Japanese on the island of Baishio. So his remains have been located and identified. So that's a good thing. And the top five stories in Early Bird today. And then Ohio man. And getting into me already this morning. Come on, man. It's not even 8 o'clock yet. Top U.S. general in Europe. Don't give Turkey F-35s if they buy Russian systems. Okay, the top uniformed officer in NATO. Blah, 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 blah. Testifying in front of the Senate Armed Service Committee yesterday, General Scaparotti said it would be his best military advice that sales to Turkey of the F-35 be cut should that nation buy the S-400 air defense system. If they accept the S-400 to establish it in Turkey, there is first the issue that it's not interoperable with other NATO defense systems, nor is it interoperable inside of our integrated missile defense system. The second has to do with the F-35. It presents a problem to all of our aircraft, but specifically the F-35, I believe. My best military advice would be that we don't then follow through with the F-35 flying it or working with an ally that is working with Russian systems, particularly air defense systems, with one of our most advanced technological capabilities. The comments came in an exchange with Senator Jean Saline, Democrat, New Hampshire, who has sponsored legislative language to explore Turkey's removal from the F-35 program. So, again, Turkey's decision to buy the Russian S-400 system has been around for a while, and also this discussion about selling them the F-35. So, we'll talk to Alex about that. He's a fighter guy. Number two story in the Early Bird. DARPA inks a contract for hypersonic weapon research. Hypersonics, everybody goes hysterical. General Zinni said, poke their eyes out, they can't find the target. I think he's right, because I said that before him on this program. Number three, a plan to end the Afghan war. Declare victory, give everybody who fought there a $2,500 bonus, right? Why not? What the hell? We could all use $2,500, right? Declare victory, give them some money, tell them to go the fuck away. Number four, Trump 100% on board with keeping troops in Syria. What? Yeah. What? Did I just read that right? President Trump told lawmakers this week he's 100% on board with keeping some troops in Syria. Less than 3 months after announcing a complete withdrawal, Trump declared in December that the Islamic State was defeated, was ordering all U.S. troops be sent home from Syria. You can't make this shit up, man. The decision faced backlash from lawmakers on both sides of the aisle, particularly Lindsey Graham, who cussed out the acting bobblehead at the DOD in Europe 2 weeks ago. The decision, the president reverse course last month, right, with White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders saying that a small peacekeeping ground group of 200 will remain in Syria for a period of time. A bipartisan group of lawmakers from both chambers of Congress sent the president a letter applauding his change of heart. We support a small American stabilizing force, not peacekeeping. Okay, Sarah? These are going to be people that help kill people, so peacekeeping's different. The lawmakers wrote on the 22nd of February, we agreed that a stabilizing force, which includes a small contingent of American troops and ground forces from our European allies, is essential to ensure stability and prevent the return of ISIS. So, yeah, you can't make it up, all right? You cannot make it up. Number 5-story. North Korea rebuilds part of a missile site as the National Security Advisor, John Bolton, warns of more sanctions. So, there you have it. It's interesting, right? The big deal was made of the president's initiative yesterday. Not a mention of it in Early Bird. Yeah. The let's throw our hands up in the air and let's scream and shout about veteran suicide. And let's give the VA more money. I'm not sure that's a good thing. Honestly, give them more money to do what? To do what? I think the program's making, and I don't say this because I'm one of them, but I think the programs that are making the most difference are veterans-run organizations, right? And not the big programs that you see on TV, to include the VA. When the VA absorbs something, it kills it. So, again, VA's got a tough job. I don't envy them. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, Alex Halling's going to join us. You know him, so I don't need to introduce him. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.